So, you doing okay there, Ernest? You're gonna play with me? A little background music while I share. Actually, what I want to share fits in with what we've heard this morning. I'm sure that's not a surprise, but the Lord's good in that way, and also it follows what Rich Brink shared a few weeks ago. I'm calling it The Art of Waiting, Part 4, and some of you have been waiting a long time for me to end this series. But let me just take a few minutes to talk about some of the other things we've mentioned before in The Art of Waiting. Actually, I'm going to go past all of these because of the time, okay? These are the other messages. You can get them online. And this morning, I want us to talk about something that is waiting for us, and it's finding your treasure. Finding your treasure. Let's just take a minute to pray. Father, thank you again for your presence with us this morning. You came, you're here, you haven't left. You're still here, Lord. Thank you. And Father, as we just continue to bask in your presence, I ask and pray you'd speak to each and every heart here today. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So I don't know if any of you have ever gone treasure hunting. Any treasure hunters in here? We have a few. Okay. I mean, like real treasure, like treasure chest. Not treasure hunting like spiritual, but like looking for sunken treasure. All right. I've never done that either. But I'm going to share with you about somebody that found some treasure. Okay. These people found some treasure.
13 biggest treasures ever discovered. Back in 2014, a middle-aged couple in Northern California accidentally stumbled across 1,400 gold coins while walking their dog. The old coins were likely stolen from a coin minting factory back in the gold rush era of California and hidden underground for a couple hundred years. The individual coins were auctioned off and ended up raising $11 million. The couple has chosen to stay anonymous and refuses to disclose where they found the gold to prevent a false gold rush in their area. Most of their $11 million profit was donated to charity.
Wow. Did you get that at the end? Most of their $11 million was donated to charity. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, "Don't store up treasure here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." So Jesus is saying that the things most highly treasured occupy our hearts, the center of our personality that embrace mind, emotions, and will. Thus, the most cherished treasure subtly but infallibly controls one's whole direction and values. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, and you've probably heard it said, I've said it before, that you can't take it with you. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul, but there's a picture of one, actually. I think that's a used car somebody bought, a used hearse, and put the U-Haul there. But isn't it interesting that Jesus, the examples he uses, he starts with moths. So what's he talking about if he's talking about moths? Clothing. Yeah, clothing. So all you ladies with closets full of clothing and shoes, you got to start cleaning them out. You know, he's talking about clothing. And then he's talking about things that do what? That rust. Not everything rusts, does it? Yeah. So what are some things that rust? Metal. Our cars. Yes, all you that are car collectors and have automobiles strewn all across your lawns, they're going to rust. Yeah, and you don't want to store them up, all right? He says, don't do that. Jim Elliot said it this way, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And Charles Spurgeon said it this way, "You must keep all earthly treasures out of your heart and let Christ be your treasure and let him," what? "Have your heart. Let Christ have your heart. Now, I want to take this and I want to flip it and look at the other side of the coin. You've always heard the saying that there are two sides of a coin, right? There can be two sides to a coin. So I want us to look at another side, because this is what, when Rich was sharing last Sunday, I've been reading through Colossians and meditating on it. And all of a sudden, the light went on and I just said, whoa. And I'm quoting mostly from the Passion Translation. Brian Simmons, in that translation, often uses the word treasure. Treasure. You won't find it in the NIV. You won't find it in the New Living Translation. Or you won't find it in the King James. But you find it in his translation, treasures. He says in Colossians 2, verse 3, for our spiritual wealth is in him like hidden, what? Treasure. Waiting to be discovered, heaven's wisdom and endless riches of revelation knowledge. Whoa, revelation knowledge. Later he says, earlier he says in chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5, every time we pray for you, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving to Father God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your devoted lives of faith in Christ Jesus and your tender love toward all his holy believers. Your faith and love rise within you as you what? Access all the treasures of your inheritance stored up in the heavenly realm. Whoa! You've got that. You have those treasures stored up for you. So what's the problem? Well, let's look at this. What might be appear to be a bit of a digression, I wanted to share with you. Paul is writing to the Colossian church, probably from prison in Rome. We don't know for sure. He wasn't the one that began those churches. He didn't plant those churches. You know that? The man he's writing in this letter, Epaphras, we believe he's the one that began those churches. And there are actually three of them that were all very closely aligned together. And you can see on your map here, the bigger picture. Whoops, sorry, didn't change the thing there. The bigger picture here, you can see churches we're familiar with, Ephesus, Corinth, Philippi, Thessalonica. Okay, then these three churches are very close together. We're talking about 6 or 12 miles apart. And yeah, and so we see Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis right there. See it up at the top, Hierapolis. Okay, those are the three churches to whom Paul is actually writing this letter that we call Colossians in our Bible. He's writing to these folks. Now, jump with me to Revelation chapter 3. Because in that chapter, we see the word of God to seven churches, one of which is what? Laodicea. That's one of these three churches that we just talked about. Okay? Bingo. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one of these, one of the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, and naked. All right, so often this is viewed in the wrong way. Even my good friend Brian Simmons in his translation translated it wrong, okay? The Word of God isn't saying that hot is good and cold is bad. They're both good. They're both good. They represent the two cities that flank Laodicea. Hierapolis was famous because of its hot springs. People would go there for municipal purposes and be healed and helped and all those types of things. Colossae was famous for its cold, refreshing water. Can't you imagine what that'd be like in the desert? Just cold water. Yeah. But Laodicea, which sat between the two, they had to pipe water almost 6 miles to the city. So guess what it tasted like by the time it got there? Lukewarm. Yeah, it was lukewarm. So he's not saying you need to be one of the... He says, I'd rather you be cold, I'd rather you be hot, I'd rather you have some sort of refreshment that you bring, but instead you're lukewarm, you're neither one. Now, What was the church like? Well, let me go on, and then we'll see what the church was like there. All right, next verse. I counsel you to buy me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline to be earnest and repent. Amazing. This city was famous for its black wool. They made these amazing wool garments from black sheep, and they sold them all over the area. They were also famous because they had a medical school there, and they created this eye ointment that was used all over the world to help people with eye diseases. Whoa. And the Word of God is saying, you know, I want you to wear white clothes so you won't be shameful. I want you to put my ointment on your eyes so you can see. And I want you to have gold because, again, going back to Jesus' words about moth and rust, what's true about pure gold? Doesn't rust. No, it doesn't rust. He says, I want you to have gold. I want you to have something that's not going to rust. I want you something that's going to last forever. And then we read these words that we all know well. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, how many of you have seen this picture before? Jesus knocking on the door, huh? Yeah. And how many of you have heard it said he's knocking on the door of the heart of the unbeliever and calling him or her to himself? Yeah, I've known people who have come to faith for that word. But that's not the accurate translation. He's knocking on the door of whom? Our hearts, the church. He's knocking on the door of the church. He's saying, church, wake up. Church, stop being lukewarm. Church, this is, I want to come. This is so amazing to me. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me.
I know that's right.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. Okay, let's think about it. Did Jesus say, I'm going to come and pray with you? Did Jesus say, I'm going to come and read the scriptures with you? Huh? No, I mean, all those things are important. But what does he mean when he says, I'm going to come and eat with you? I just want to be with you. I just want to sit with you. I want to have a meal with you. In fact, as we know, our New Testament is translated from Greek into English and whatever other language. Well, in the Greek, there are three words for meals. They had three meals a day like many of us do, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The word that's translated here to eat with you is the word for dinner. And that was the longest meal of the day. The work day's over and people would just sit and relax and enjoy the ambience and the meal. And Jesus is saying, I want to do that with you. I want to come and just sit with you. I just want to be with you. Yeah, I just want to be with you. And he's writing that to this church, Laodicea, which is one of the three churches that we were looking at and speaking about later. Anyway, we're speaking about earlier. And so, well, let me go on. Let's go back to Colossians and read this verse, and I'll tell you what the so is. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with the virtues of God. Since you've been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. And be compassionate. Show kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body. And always be thankful. Always be thankful. So I believe what happened was these churches had come to faith. They were new in the faith when Paul wrote them. But time Revelation came out, what had happened to their faith? Well, they didn't lose it, okay? They didn't lose it. Okay, it's an important point. Thank you for saying that, though. It's an important point. He wasn't saying you've abandoned the faith. He wasn't saying you've left the faith. He was saying your faith has become what? Lukewarm. In other words, this was a rich church, a very wealthy church, and they were putting more of their confidence in their wealth and what they owned and what they did than they were in Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you always, always need to put your faith in me. You began with me, you want to end with me. You want to always be walking with me. You don't, so many of us, it's so easy because we have so much. So much is available to us that we can try to make things happen out of our own strength, out of our own will, out of our own wealth, out of our own work. And Jesus is saying, no, you need to always trust in me. You don't want to be like that church. You know, I get my water here, my voice. You don't want to be like that church. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to continue. So what I believe was happening was that that church had stopped availing themselves of the treasure chest. They were no longer availing themselves of the treasure chest. They hadn't left the Lord. They hadn't left faith in God. But they were no longer accessing the treasure chest. See? In Colossians 1, verse 27, living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. He wants everyone to know it. And when I read this, I thought, a treasure chest. A hope chest. A hope chest. Any of you women ever have a hope chest? Oh, I see some hands. What was in your hope chest? Jesus. Stuff for the wedding. Okay. Anything else? Sharon? Grace, you have a hope chest?
I guess, yeah.
Cool. What's in your hope chest?
I have in tiny little pieces of paper, just like bits and pieces of like what I believe God has like given me as far as like prophecies go. And like, you know, what he plans for my school, for my life, for my friends.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. So God is saying, I have for each one of you a hope chest. Because you're my bride. Whoa, you're my bride. Right? We are the bride of Christ. And the hope chest, the bride has the hope chest waiting for the Lord. Well, the Lord's saying, I've got a hope chest for you because you're my bride. I got a hope chest this morning. How about it's so full, it's overflowing. Yeah, so I'm going to ask you this morning. This is what's in God's hope chest? Well, if you need hope, it's in his hope chest. Who's here this morning and came in today and said, I need hope. I just need hope. Anybody? Anybody came? Ernest, come on over here, brother. I want you to have hope, brother. This is in God's hope chest and for you. And just stand up here if you don't mind. I don't want to embarrass you if you don't mind, okay? There you go, man. Hope. God's hope. God's hope. How about joy? Anybody come in here this morning and said, I need some joy? This morning, I'm not saying now. I know a lot of us got joy already. But you needed joy when you came in, huh? I know it's rejoice. That's close enough, okay? I didn't have joy, so I did rejoice. When you have joy, what do? You rejoice. Yes. Mary, come on up here and take this. This is God's joy for you. Yeah. Whoa. All right. Now, as they're taking these, I want to ask the prayer team to come on up too now, okay? How about peace? Anybody come in here and said, I need peace this morning? Nick, you need peace? All right, come on up. Come on up. This is shalom. This is the peace of God that is the greatest peace that passes all understanding. It passes anything and everything we could ever generate for ourselves. How about love? Anybody come in here and say, I need some loving this morning. Huh? Need some love? Need some loving today? Come on, John. Come on up here. This is God's hope chest. God's treasure chest. He's got love in it for you, brother. Yeah, man. I know you know it. But he's got love for you. All right. Got one more thing in here. Got to use your imagination now. My wife doesn't know I took this out of her closet. That's right. White linens. White linens of righteousness. And I want to, you want to take that one? Okay, here we go. The linen of righteousness. Woo! All right. There you go. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, so God's treasure chest is available to you and me 24/7. He wants, all we have to do is do what? Access it. Access it. Access it. The church in Laodicea had stopped accessing it. They had started accessing their own strength, their own will, their own ideas. They'd stopped accessing God's treasure chest. And he's saying to you and me, don't stop accessing his treasure chest. It's there. It's available for you. It's open. It's open. Okay. It's open. It's empty. Mine's empty, but his isn't. Okay. It's bottomless. It's eternal. There's no end to all that he has for you and for me. All we have to do is to act. What do you need, my sister? Did you come up for one of them?
Oh, no.
You're just standing with him, love? All right. What's your name?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. All right. God bless you, Stephanie. This your cousin? Whoa. Whoa, that's cool. All right. Welcome, Stephanie. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it takes two to carry it. That's right. All right. So we've got the prayer team up here. And if you'd like prayer for any of these things, anything, or you just say, you know something, I haven't been accessing that chest, that treasure chest. You know, I've known it's there, but I just have been deficient in accessing it. Okay. And then you'd like someone to pray with you, or you'd like someone to pray with you for any of these things or something else I didn't mention this morning that God's put on your heart, then I want you to come on up here with the prayer team as soon as we close here in a minute and join them. Because just as this scripture said, I want to repeat it again. It's still on the screen. Yeah. Oh, no, it's not on the screen. Where'd my thing go? Alex, where'd it go? There we go. Oh, that's okay. I can move it here. Bingo. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. That's you and me. And God wants every one of us to what? To know it. Every one of us to know it. Stand up with me this morning. Thank you, Father. And Paul, where's Paul? We always close with the Aaronic benediction. So I'm going to pray and then Paul will lead us in that. And then avail yourselves of prayer here today, okay? Yeah. Father, thank you for the treasure chest that you have for each one of us through Christ Jesus our Lord. If it were not for his life, for his sacrificial death and his resurrection, we wouldn't be sharing these words this morning. But Lord, you did it. It is, in fact, on the cross, you uttered those words that were echoed through all eternity. It is finished. It is completed. The work is complete. There's no other work that will ever need to be done. You won't need to come back again. There won't need to be a repeat performance. There won't need to. You won't need to help us in another way. Lord, it's done. It's finished. There's no other way in which we can access this treasure chest. But it's available for every one of us who calls upon your name. And so, Lord, help us. Grant us your grace to access this treasure chest day by day, 24/7. It's always open, always available. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the abundance of treasure that's available for each and every one of our lives. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.